This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Right now, see, I told you it'd only be momentarily. We will talk with Rangers manager Chris Woodward. Good afternoon, sir.
How are you guys doing?
We're doing really good. I want to propose a theory to you right now and see if you think it holds any water.
Okay.
Your team has won four games. Two of those games were the last games before you were to appear on this show. Do you think the team steps its game up knowing that you're going to have to be on with us to get you that victory?
Maybe. If that's the case, then we're going to get on every day.
Fantastic.
Team speech is going to be, look, guys, I got to talk to KMC tomorrow, and we got to make it a good one, all right?
Right.
Can you talk to us about these last two Kyle Gibson starts? Because obviously everything is amplified on opening day. It was a really tough go. What do you think about the last two starts? What has been different? What has he brought to y'all's team?
You know, I don't think it's – I think it's obviously been different than last year, but I think this is what we expected. I think coming into camp, you know, starting in the offseason last year, he was really eager to kind of figure some things out and get better. And he put a ton of work in this offseason. He came into camp ready to go. His stuff looked good. His body looked good. So that's kind of what we were expecting. Honestly, I'm not surprised by any quality pitching the last two times. I was actually obviously really surprised opening day. I think it was just an opening day kind of, you know, whatever. Weird things happened that day. And I think if he'd have got out of that first inning, I think he'd have been fine. But the last two are kind of what we're expecting. His sinker yesterday was absolutely filthy. I can get into the analytics of it, but it was absolutely filthy, and you can see by the result.
Woody, I think one of the biggest challenges of managers at times, because it's kind of like two fraternities on a team. You have the pitchers, and then you have the players. As the manager now, you know, for a while, how do you try to make sure that you don't kind of have two separate teams, that you make sure the pitchers and the players are kind of one unit?
It's a challenge because they're obviously on different schedules. And I think the biggest thing is just, you know, continuing some bonding. And I know last year, you know, with COVID protocols and, you know, we've been much better this year. Although we do have similar protocols, but we, you know, just getting these guys together, talking shop. You know, I think it's really important for the pitchers and the hitters to communicate kind of what they do and how they do it. So that way they know we're all on the same page and honestly under the same culture and the same standards. I think that's probably the biggest thing for me. But it's tough. It's a challenge because they are on two different schedules. But I think it's up to the players to kind of take ownership of that and kind of reach across the aisle at times and just, you know, get to know them a little bit.
We brought this up a little earlier this morning, and Jose Trevino is tied with IKF for the most hits on this team, but he also has zero RBI, which is a weird thing to me. But that being said, like, is with these guys, with the players, you know, is their bat going to keep them in a lineup more than anything else?
I think so. I think it's more of the quality of the bats. And listen, I know that, you know, hitting is streaky, and certain guys are going to, you know, sometimes hits are, you know, they can kind of mislead you, you know, just because the guy's getting a bunch of hits. But, you know, it's the quality of their bat, the quality of their approach. You know, are they sticking to the game plan? And are they consistent? I think that's the things I look at the most. And typically, the guy that hits the best usually accomplishes those things. And small sample size, sometimes it doesn't show up. But, you know, obviously the playing time is going to be to those guys that I feel like and we feel like are going to be the most consistent at bats.
That's really interesting because – you said, you know, sometimes what you see is not necessarily what you're getting, and sometimes you don't get the results based on the effort that you're putting in there. How do you, and I know I ask balance questions a lot, but how do you balance that out versus, like, he's giving the effort, but it's just not happening versus you see some guy who's getting a bunch of hits and he's just kind of lucking into them? Like, how do you account for luck and sometimes it's just not on your side in the game?
Yeah, you know what? I can honestly say, like, from our position player side, we don't have any guys that are, you know, just getting, I wouldn't say lucky where they're not working. I think every one of our guys is working. And, you know, I think the biggest thing for me, especially with younger players, is they have to learn. They've never seen a Tyler Glasnow fastball. They've never seen a Joe Musgrove slider and curveball. So they're figuring out how to handle these things. And listen, these are the guys we're going to have to face if we're going to, you know, win a World Series and get in the playoffs. These are the type of pitchers we're going to have to beat. So they're all in on that. But learning that and kind of going through the process and making sure that they have plans against these guys and they're not just kind of giving in, I think is critical in their development and their growth.
Well, what do you these guys asked me a question today. You're going to be much better at answering this because you have the pulse of the team. They were asking, why is this starting pitching staff doing so well?
Honestly, it's a number of different reasons, but I think, you know, the guys that we've had, you know, prior, and I know Jordan and Kyle Gibson stand out, and then all the younger guys, you know, the Kyle Cody's, Taylor Hearn, John King, these guys, you know, Sags and, you know, Cigar and Doug Mathis have done a tremendous job, and along with the rest of our pitching guys in the organization, in getting these guys prepared, getting these guys understanding what they're good at, how to use their stuff. And then obviously there's game plans and there's, you know, scouting reports we go off of, but we're really focused on our pitcher's strengths and them going out and executing it. I think we don't want to put these guys in positions to fail. So, you know, telling these guys, go out and attack the strike zone. I think that's been probably the biggest key, you know, using their stuff. And we have quality stuff. I think you look at Pulte and even Gibby got his sinker back to where it was, even better than it was in the past, where he was really effective. And Jordan Lyles, you know, both his breaking balls are much better than they were last year. So it's honestly a lot of different things, but I think just the work that these guys, and the attitude and the effort these guys have put in to kind of create where we're at, I think it's the reason why we're having a ton of success.
Rangers manager Chris Woodward joining us here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. And I presume you've heard of Dane Dunning. He's done a pretty good job for the Rangers this year so far. That being said, I was listening to Jared Sandler talk about this. Jared Sandler's in our clubhouse all the time, and he was talking about the use of Dunning and like Taylor Hearn together, and they were talking about high pressure situations. And I do wonder, with four innings early in a game, if you can get that high pressure of maybe the sixth inning as well, and will Dane Dunning get an opportunity, you know, maybe later in the season to get that sixth inning, or would you have to switch it up because you're kind of limiting some of his innings and maybe let Hearn start and then flip him a little bit? I'm just kind of curious as to how you get Dane into that high pressure situation in a game.
Yeah, you know what, I think that's a good question. I think with these younger guys, especially Dane and Taylor, kind of come to mind, and, you know, Kyle Cody, if we ever put him in the rotation, or even, you know, Benjamin, these guys, you know, to get them the innings, we're going to be responsible, first of all. But I do think at some point I would like to kind of push, you know, especially Dane, because I think he's got the, you know, capability of being a pretty high-end, you know, 100-pitch guy at some point soon, without – risking injury or, you know, pushing him too far. I do think there will be a time when I'm going to let him go. And whether that's early this year or middle of this year, and then have to kind of taper back after that, we'll see. But I definitely want to try to push him at some point, get him to that 80, 90 pitch mark and see where we go from there. But, you know, same with Taylor Hearn and Benjamin and all the other guys that are kind of filling in those roles as well.
What kind of expectations do you have for Adalys Garcia?
I got a lot, actually. And I think everybody on our staff does. I think, you know, what we saw in spring training, you know, we believe is real. We believe it's, you know, this guy's improved a ton. Just in his fastball, you know, he's got tremendous power. He stayed in the middle of the field the whole spring training. He didn't chase. And if he can maintain that, this guy's got, like, superstar capability that he's never really tapped into. So you see him, and if you watch him run the bases, if you watch him throw, you know, from right field, he's fast. He does a lot of amazing things, and, you know, his biggest thing was always just, you know, staying in the strike zone. He's an aggressive hitter, and we want to keep that, but we also, you know, want to make sure he's just swinging at strikes.
Going back to last Friday with the no-hitter, I know you're focused on winning the game, of course, but do you notice a different environment on the field, in the stands, knowing what is potentially on the verge of happening?
Yeah, of course. I think, I noticed it from the first inning. I'm keeping track of no-hitters and from the basically the second or third inning on for our own pitchers and their opposing pitcher. But, you know, I'm always trying to break it up. I say it every inning. Hey, this guy's got a no-hitter. Here we go. Trying to break the curse. But, you know, listen, I mean, it is what it is. Like, you know, everybody's aware of it on the bench. I think, you know, sometimes you put too much pressure on yourself and you, as a hitter, you get in the sixth or seventh inning. And really the pressure's on the, obviously, that pitcher try to accomplish a really difficult task. So we all were aware of it. He was really good that day, though. That is, I mean, his breaking balls and, you know, the way he was pitching that day was made it really tough.
If Dane has a no-hitter, how many innings are you going to let him keep throwing?
Oh, man, this is tough.
You know what? I hope that happens. I hope I get that opportunity to keep him in there. If that's the case, I don't foresee myself taking him out unless he's at, you know, 100 pitches through five innings. Obviously, I have to, but I would definitely not take him out at that point.
You were talking after that no-hitter game about Musgrove's off-speed stuff, especially his breaking balls. Who was the best breaking ball you ever faced?
Ooh, shoot, there's a couple of them, I guess. You know, I know Barry Zito's curveball was, I don't know if it was the highest spin one, but I know it had probably the biggest break I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was nasty.
You know, it started, to be a strike, it had to be like over your head, which I had never really seen anything like that. But there's some nasty sliders. I know Rob Nen, you know, his slider was, you know, nobody really threw that hard back in the day with a 93 mile an hour slider, but that was, it at the time, it just seemed impossible for me to hit. And now guys are doing that, you know, pretty regularly. So our guys are kind of used to it.
Oh, man. You know what? In the future, because Mike has a very big ego, you just say Mike Bassick. I heard you had the nastiest stuff, and it'll make him feel – it'll just make his day.
Will do.
Yeah, Woody, that's okay. You don't have to. I would, after having good games, the general manager would say, keep tricking them, Bassick. I'm like, that doesn't sound like the greatest, like, praise from the general manager who has my job in his hands that I tricked him today to stay in the major leagues. So,
hey, that's what, some guys have to do that, man. Yeah. Okay, there's no shame in that.
Well, we appreciate you jumping on, and then if we're in the same scenario again next week and we're on a three-game winning streak going into this interview, I think we're really going to have to revisit the frequency of these visits.
I'm telling you, I'm willing to talk every day if it means we got a chance to win every day. I'm good with that.
Hell yeah! Thanks, Woody. Appreciate it, man.
All right, take care, guys.
Chris Woodward right there, brought to you by Medical City Healthcare, the destination of choice for healthcare excellence. Some really fun stuff right
when
there.
Mike says, keep tricking him. I can't. It cracks me up every time. Dude.
Will do.
Thanks.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here.
I don't know how you did it, but you won the game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.